Welcome to ESG Energize, where we discuss the latest developments in the environmental, social, and governance arena that are impacting the energy industry today. Here is your host, Delfina Govia.
This is Delfina Govia, your busy business boss, executive, strategist, and transformational leader, whose mission on this show is to educate, engage, and energize the global community on topics of sustainability and ESG.
Hi, who do we have here?
We're from Carver High School.
And your first names are?
Go. My name's Ruben.
And my name's Lillian.
Well, hi, thank you for being here with us today. Can you tell us about your project?
So basically, we started our school started a community garden to help the community with resources for fresh produce. And this is our students, like, basically building it together. We had collaborators from the city of Houston come in and, like, help us understand and basically help us get started with our garden.
Okay, what is the goal of the garden?
To help our community have accessibility to fresh produce.
Is this for the community or for your school?
Both ways.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the data collection. What did you find?
We have
another one. What is your name?
My name is Chastity. I'm also from Carver High School. We collected data from the rest of our student body that wasn't able to experience the collaborations with the different people. And we learned that basically 13.6% of their answers were no, which means that they were educated in, like, the community and the community garden and eating healthier. So that's what we researched. So basically our mission is just to show, like, everybody that you can eat healthier. Even in the food desert, you can make your own produce. And yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more. So after you started realizing and seeing this data, what do you plan to do with it?
So we just plan on, like, having different, like, meetings and just spreading the word. We want everybody that's in the school to contribute to the garden. We have plenty of these, like, tombs right here that we put the food in. So everybody's open to watering it and picking it once it's available.
So let me ask you this. Are you just trying to bring awareness to something that you already have at your school, or you're wanting to start the garden?
I think that it can go further than just the school, for sure. Yeah.
Got it. So you want to expand the garden.
Just starting here. But yeah, we definitely want to expand.
What's your take here?
Well, I'm loving these pictures. What the audience can't see are their pictures of the gardens that they have been planting. And looks like they've designed this very carefully so that it could expand the amount of people and the types of people that are getting involved.
Yes, I see that. I see a lot of different people here. I see, like, a community involvement, right?
Look at these collaborators over here, right?
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Houston.
This right here, this is Oscar. He came, he gave us plants that we could take home as well. So they do have, some students do have plants at home that they're taking care of right now. So, yeah.
So what is this QR code that we can scan?
This was for our students. It's only for the Audin district. If you have an Audin email, you can use it. It was just for the survey. Just show the questions that are on there that we had gave them.
So what are next step actions?
So I really don't know yet. We haven't really planned the next step. We're just really trying to make sure that we're fully educated in everything that we have for the garden before we spread the word. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I love that.
They're getting ready. Now, who are these other people standing behind us?
Everybody is,
this is
a part of the team.
All right.
Oh, we need to introduce everyone. So who do we have here?
Hello, I'm Michelle.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Daniela.
Jade.
Do either one of you want to provide any additional information from what we shared?
Well, majority of the information, our partners already did the favor to explain for everything. So we just hope that it comes to the best of your understanding for everything that we did for the gardens and for our people. So I hope it's good for you.
Do you think that people, that students might learn some of this and bring it home and plant gardens at home? Yeah?
When the city of Houston came to our school, they provided us with plants to take care of, and they taught us how to take care of them, how to feed them, where to put them, when to plant them.
And one of the questions that we were heavy on the survey was talking about mental health, physical and mental health, and seeing how would that affect the students and if it will give a positive impact for them. And it does, because it's an activity that they are interested in.
You see they're like smiling, everybody's having fun in the pictures.
It's something that they enjoy to do.
And this is an outdoor activity, so it helps our students, especially through their health, due to them being able to be outdoors and be able to have the vitamins needed.
I put down the video games, right? Put down the iPhones and get out there and get your hands dirty.
I love that. And so what I see here is that you are wanting to make first steps to really get the student involved, education, right? And I think you saw so many benefits from all of this that now you're trying to figure out what to do with it, right?
It's a fresh project that I think it just started this year.
Yes.
Yeah, it's barely starting, so that's why we're fresh on information. So they come every month with new like ideas on how to produce our garden. Like that is a resource that we can use instead of soil that they just taught us today. It's the I don't know how to say that word. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's an idea that helps us produce a garden without needing soil, and it has the same nutrients as soil.
I love that. One more question for them.
Go for it.
What is your favorite thing that you planted?
Lettuce.
Bok choy. Okay. We're planting broccoli, kale.
Yeah, right now I'm growing broccoli at my house right now. And I really enjoy it growing, yeah. I think it's one of my favorites.
I'm growing kale and lettuce at home. And cilantro.
Oh, we have pictures of what they took home and started planting. I love that.
Okay, while they're bringing up those pictures, we're going to see who this beautiful, very proud woman is standing behind them.
You are speaking to the very beautiful, very proud.
I got it right, didn't I?
Very proud teacher of all these wonderful Carver Magnet High School students. I love these kids. And we have been having a time with the garden. They take ownership into what they're doing. And it just makes me proud to know that when they know better, that they can do better. And just share the information with their parents. And just, they name their plants. And we look forward to working in it. We water the gardens. We put the potting soil down. Just a whole gambit. And my only fear is that they're all seniors. So I'm going to bring a whole new crop of kids in to get this same passion. So I'm leaning on these projects to help me get that point across, because it's going to hurt me if we can't finish it, because they've laid the groundwork and the foundation. All we have to do is keep it going. So maybe by April or so, I'll get some juniors, because I teach environmental systems as well as aquatics, which is a senior level class. So I need to get some babies under me so they can come in with that buy-in, to continue this journey.
Is there a club that kids could join as opposed to just taking a class?
Speak to that.
For that, yes, we do have a club. Our sponsor's name is Brittany Stewart. So we have a gardening club. We started last year. The founder of that, he wasn't able to come today, but his name is Asuncion Sanchez. He was the one who founded the club and got it started with our AP, Mr. Richardson, and some other people from the school. But it's a really nice project, and we collaborate with this organization called NEO. And they help us a lot. They helped us to understand many other things when it came to the gardening process. So,
okay, so let's see these pictures. And Sonia, you and I are going to have to explain them as they're showing, because, of course, people can't see this.
Okay, absolutely.
So this day is when everybody first started their plant. This is the picture right here. Well, this is me. I'm planting my plant.
All right, so we see some pre-work being done on a picture, right? Everybody's planting. Okay.
And this is, I guess, the process of it growing. Then I planted another plant. I took another pot of soil home. This is cilantro.
So what we're seeing is a pot with just little small springs coming out.
And this is it growing some more.
Okay.
And a little more. But yeah, I have no recent pictures right now, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, let me see more pictures.
Okay, so this is how my plant started off.
Okay, very small.
This is rosemary. This is broccoli. This is like a couple days ago. I did just replant it, so it's in a bigger pot now because it's getting bigger. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's how it
is. And what's this plant's name?
This is, I haven't named it.
Oh,
she hasn't
named it.
I haven't.
Right here, right now, on this show. Name it. So we all know at the same time.
Let Ms. Caldwell name it.
Oh, she wants you to name it. Yes.
Joyful.
Joyful.
All right.
I love that.
I love it. Who else has pictures for us? That's it? Okay.
That's it.
Well, ladies, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Great, great presentation. This is fun.
And you know what the cool thing is? That the next students for next year get to listen to this and hear your passion and continue it.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
So we are talking to Reina.
Reina, yes,
ma'am.
And
Luis.
And Aureli.
Aureli. Okay. Tell us about your project and what school you're from.
Yes, ma'am. So our investigation is for the restroom safety and sanitation in Eisenhower High School. And so our inquiry question is, how can we as student architects explore the safety and sanitation issues of our restrooms to propose a restroom design to the school principal and the district building representative using this representation?
Okay, Reina, the first question I need to ask you is, what is the safety issue with regard to the restrooms?
Yes, ma'am. So the safety issues we have in our restrooms is locks. As you can see here, we don't have any locks at all in our restrooms. So basically our friends have to hold the doors for us because that's a risk for somebody walking in on you doing your business. That's one of them, ma'am.
My heart is pounding.
Yes, I'm, yeah. Okay. As I calm down, what are the other safety issues? Are there others, or is it just a sanitary issue we're talking about?
Well, another issue will be trash cans. As you can see here, for us women, we have, you know,
we need trash cans next to our toilets.
Yes, ma'am, and we have none of them at all in our restrooms. As you can see here, the toilets are clogged with toilet paper or whatever that is, and then we have a paper of a pad on the side of it. And we as women, we need trash cans because we need to drop our necessities.
And not even that, it's having to go to the bathroom and just seeing something you don't want to see.
Disgusting.
Exactly. And as a safety issue, just leaving something out like that in the open, you know, it exposes in the air the germs, bacteria, and nobody wants to, you know, get that. For other issue, which is sanitary, it's cut up a little, but for hand towels, you know, you wash your hands, you're going to grab a towel, dry them, there's no towels. And you're like, well, now my hands are wet, what do I do? So we came up with putting hand dryers on each side of the bathroom, mainly because it's less of a risk of not being able to not dry your hands. Like, you just come out, wash your hands, and you dry them, and you're done. And for the locks, as she said, we designed another one, which we believe would be, has a less of a risk to break like these. And, you know, we have, like, if we were to put that lock, you know, we wouldn't be worrying about, oh, can somebody hold the door for me? Or do I have to hold it and do my business at the same time? And, yeah, she said for the trash can, we decided to, on our design, to put a trash can on each bathroom for both women and men so that they can, you know, dispose of their personal stuff there instead of leaving them out in the open and leaving unsanitary stuff for others to see.
So sustainability audience, what we're looking at here is a diagram of a design that they've created that is describing a very well laid out plan that they're proposing. So what are you going, what have you done or what are you going to do with this design?
We're going to talk to our principal on Friday and our building representative. So we hope to propose our solution with our project.
And to top that off with, next year they're renovating the school. So we hope that our idea gets to them and they can make our bathrooms a better and safer and clean space for all of us, both men and women.
Perfect timing. So the ladies were very articulate about their challenges in the girls' restroom. Do you have anything to add about the boys' restroom? because boys are, we all just know boys are messy, right? Boys are just nasty.
You know, somebody's whole sanitizer right there. Constantly asking my teacher to if she has any sanitizer, and she looked at me like weird way one day. She thought I was dirty. She's like, I believe in washing my hands. I'm like, I do too, but there's no one at the restroom.
Okay, well, this, let's hope that on Friday you have a very successful meeting, and that when they do build the new building, these designs get incorporated.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate
that. Well, hello. Hi.
And what is your first name and what school are you from?
I'm Jordan. I go to Eisenhower High School.
And I'm Gabriela, and I go to Eisenhower as well.
Hey, Jordan and Gabriela, tell us about your project.
Okay, so as students, we noticed that there was a really big problem coming into school safely and securely. So we wanted to bring emphasis to it and make sure that going to school and getting an education, we get to do it safely. So that's why we decided to do this project. We initiated by taking a survey. So obviously we noticed it was an issue, but we wanted to take in other people's opinions.
What things did you notice at first that was a safety issue?
Specifically on the road Eagle Drive, that it's very dark, especially coming into school. And then leaving, there's a lot of traffic, and there's always kids walking back and forth, and there's a lot of cars, and then there's buses that go in to leave.
Okay, so we have a diagram here, and you've even printed a map of where the school is, the street. So tell us about the different pinpoints that you found.
So our school is here in the middle. This is the staff parking, and right in front of our school, right by the entrance, is Eagle Drive. This is a very busy one-way road, but unfortunately, nobody follows that. They always go two-way. There have been accidents there before. Historically, students have been hit by drivers coming into school. Also, there's no adequate lighting on this road, so it's a very big issue. It's the one road in front of our school that really needs some work, you know, and we noticed specifically this road definitely needs our project to work some magic for it. The connecting road on the side of our school is Antoine Drive. That road is a four-lane wide road with no crosswalks, barely any traffic signs about pedestrians to warn them that they're in a school zone or anything like that. There's also a metro stop on this road, so a lot of people who aren't students come to that area, and it's not very safe.
That doesn't sound safe at all when you are...
Yeah, it's not very safe in that area, especially here on West Gulf Bank. That road connects to Antoine, and students will go from our school up Antoine on West Bank. And here's a donut shop, so they like to get their donuts there in the morning. So they'll frequently walk across this road. West Gulf Bank is a 6-lane wide road with no crosswalks and no lights.
No crosswalk, no lights, and that's where the students are going for donuts. So it's a known fact that they need to have something done there.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. This road...
We still have Delphina here in shock mode.
Sorry. As a parent, I'm just in shock.
Yeah, and the things that are there, the crossing lines, they're very vague. So obviously, it's not easy to follow something that isn't there, that isn't really there. So that's
why. You said a 4-lane and then a 6-lane?
Yes, ma'am. There are 3 lanes on this side and 3 lanes on this side with a divide in the middle. Here's the donut shop on the side, and there's a gas station here as well. You can see there are faint white crosswalk lines, but you can see on the other side of the road, there's no crosswalk wait buttons. There's no signage telling pedestrians it's okay to go.
So it's at your own risk, basically.
Right.
How about local law enforcement?
Our school district has its own Aldine police, and they are supposed to be on duty monitoring the area and directing traffic. However, in these pictures, you'll see that there are no police present. They're often found in the school wandering around talking to the office, and they're not on duty directing traffic. So we wanted to bring this proposal to our principal, talk to him about those police and their jobs, how they're not doing their jobs. We also wanted to bring this information to the city planners and to the Harris County precinct area and hopefully get some construction underway, because our school is under construction right now. It's a very old building, so we're hoping to take advantage of that construction and easily implement sidewalks and things like that. We have prepared things that we want to implement. For example, the speed limit signs, flashing when you're in a school zone, pedestrian.
Wait, there's no school zone signage around?
There's only one way down Antoine Road, far from the school. So you kind of forget that you're in a school zone and you just speed past, you know? And there have been accidents on this road as well. Maybe not with pedestrians, but with other cars. And it's a pressing issue. A lot of students feel uncomfortable walking on that road, as our school does have a lot of walkers and a lot of car riders. So
specifically because there are like multiple apartment complexes surrounding, and there's a neighborhood of houses that surround the school. So we do have a lot of walkers that go to school.
Here, apartments. And off the map as well, there's a huge apartment complex over here. And we have a lot of walkers and we don't have any sidewalks. Why does the school not have sidewalks? That should be a no-brainer, right?
There's no sidewalks.
No sidewalks whatsoever. No sidewalks.
Wow. So what are your next steps? You got all this data. I see you have here some pictures and illustrations. What are you going to do now with the information?
We're hoping to take this to the city and propose a new plan to get these crosswalks built and these sidewalks paved and stuff. We have made connections here with the people in this building. They have told us that they're willing to hook us up, get us a meeting with the precinct, and hopefully talk to some
Beautiful.
City planners. So,
you know, yes. So it's like presenting these projects to people that are well connected is super important, because it helps us elevate our proposal even more.
I see that. And I see that you're taking advantage of the opportunity of connection and really getting the support that you need, because sometimes you feel like you can't do it always alone, right?
Yeah, so it can be hard. And the people that have come look at our project obviously have mentioned that it does take time, but we have to persevere and make sure that these things get solved.
Absolutely. Anything else y'all want to add before we... No?
Nothing.
Well, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing this information with us. All right, who do we have here and from what
First
school?
Names.
First names.
Okay, Karen. I'm Karen Salazar.
Oh.
I say last name.
Okay.
Let's start over,
okay? Just with first names. What school are you from, and what is your first name?
So I'm from Honduras, and I'm Karen. Yes.
I'm Sandy Andrade, and I'm from Honduras, too.
Yeah, so we come from Eisenhower High School.
Eisenhower High School, okay. Yeah. Tell me about your project.
So we want to address the problem of vaping in the school's restrooms. Yeah, that's a major issue, and not necessarily in our school, but also in other schools, you know, and outside of school, too. Yeah.
Sounds like a big problem.
It is a big problem. So that's why we want to propose an alarm system, right? An alarm system that sends signal to the AP's office or phone when the sensor detects smoke, vape, you know, the bathroom air, with triggering an alarm to the whole school. So, and also an exhaust system for the, you know, so the exhaust can extract smoke and for the air to be a good quality whenever other students go in. We did a survey. We found out that 35% of students vape in school with friends.
35%?
Yes. Yes, yeah. 50% are female and 50% are male, half and half. And 50% think...
I'm sorry, we're just going to have to take a minute here because we're processing.
Having a small heart attack here.
I know, it's a big
35%.
Issue. It's a big issue. And 25% think that vaping in a school bathroom is bad for your health. You know,
but they still do it.
Yeah. Wait, so that means the other 75%?
75%. About 75% of Eisenhower High School students vape.
That's good.
And,
yeah, okay. Continue with your data.
So we found out that seniors vape, 25% of seniors vape, 50% of juniors vape, sophomores 25%, and freshmen 50%.
Okay, what is your conclusion? I know it's not scientific, but why do you think that is?
Okay.
Or maybe you did do some more research.
So, juniors, we think that they smoke the most because, you know, it's a special year. It's an important year for their career. So, you know, SAT, TSI.
So stress.
Stress. Yeah, anxiety, stress. I think that's what they make them, wants them to smoke, you know. So that's why we want to amplify this new thing. We also collaborated with, we talked to Lake Creek Montgomery High School.
Okay.
They have this new system in their school, and they've told us that it's actually worked. You know, it works. It's really effective. They've caught students smoking, they've, you know, the job and everything. So we consulted them, and which let us know that we also, you know, we can, this can be a good thing. This can actually work for our high school. Right? So
I'm curious, because you're finding a solution to stop, but have you thought about providing maybe a suggestion for handling the issue itself, or alternative ways for students to relieve the stress, the anxiety, and everything that's going on?
Well, exercising is one. Yeah, I think it's very common. A lot of doctors say that exercising is good for people, for students that have anxiety. And, you know, instead of going with the path of smoking, they can go with the path of exercising. Apart from that, that's a good thing, you know, for their body system. So I think exercising is a good thing. You know, join the physical, join, you know, a sport, that could help them either. So
how do you think we can share this information with the students? How can we persuade them to alternatives?
Well, we did an infographic. Yeah, we did an infographic about vaping, and as you can see, that's the infographic. You know, be smart, don't start, say no to vaping, right? That's something huge. Yeah, students should stop vaping because this brings even bigger problems. For example, asthma, lung scarring, organ damage. This is very serious disease that are causing many deaths in young people.
Yeah. Wow.
So beyond your project,
yeah,
which I'm assuming you did it for a class, am I correct?
Oh, no. What do you mean? Like
this project.
Yeah.
Was it part of a class?
Yeah.
Okay, what class was that?
Well, we talked to many classes.
No. My question is there, was this a science class that your teacher said to you, pick a project?
Yeah, biology class.
Biology.
IB biology.
Okay, so beyond your biology class,
yeah,
how do you see this being taken forward by beyond your biology class?
Yeah. So we want to talk with the principal. Yeah, we want to talk with the principal and show him this new thing. So let's see what he says, you know, if it's okay with that, or he's gonna, you know, think about it, which we want to persuade him to do this new solution, new system.
Do you think they're even aware of the problem?
Oh, of course, I think they are. You know, a lot of students vape, like I said, 75%. Yeah, 50% female and all that. So I think they are aware. So they should know this problem that is big going around. Not only us, other schools too, and outside of school too, you know, in general.
Yeah.
Even
so it could
adults.
Be a district-wide problem that schools could come together and collaborate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So tell us to your next step action. So you said you want to bring awareness. What else do you want to do?
So we consulted with Lake Creek High School. That was one of the action. And also an information campaign. We will post flyers on the wall in the school restrooms that says prevent smoking. This might not be very effective, you know, because people pass by students and they don't even care. But I believe we can touch some of the students' heart, you know, by posting flyers around the school in the restrooms too as well.
Maybe you could host sessions where people come together to talk about it, right?
Awesome.
And
yeah,
come up with some ideas and how to help each other out, especially through stressful times, right?
Yeah, especially.
Absolutely. And I think it's important, like you said, to bring awareness, especially to the administration and people within the district, so something can take place.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, ladies, thank you so much. We're going to turn around behind us and talk to this group here.
Hi. So, tell us what school you're from.
Rio Grande City High School.
And your first names?
First name.
Roberto.
Joel.
Anaí.
Rafael. Emmanuel.
Hey, tell us about your project.
Yes, ma'am. So, this, our driving question, how dirty is our river, the river in question being our local Rio Grande River? So, of course, a lot of people do use this river for not just drinking, but for bathing, cooking, day-to-day use, of course. So, you know, you want to test the contents, make sure this, is it actually safe to use? So we did test a lot of things, those being, of course.
And they have here a laptop for those that are listening in. They're showing us some images, correct?
Yes, ma'am. And we also actually have the actual test tubes.
The actual test tubes, okay.
Yes, so we tested for dissolved oxygen, nitrate, phosphate, pH, And this is the most notable one, coliform. If you do not know what coliform is, essentially it's fecal matter and urine in the water. And we actually tested positive in both these locations. These are from the same river, but this is located Falcon State Park next to the dam. And La Casita is a bit farther down from the dam. And yeah, so it tested positive for fecal matter, urine. And people are drinking this. People are using this to clean, like to
just
bathe.
Just looking at it, you can't really tell.
So basically one of the students has a bottled water from the actual water itself, the source, and it looks clear.
It does. And that's a really big issue, awareness. A lot of people don't understand. They don't know what's in this. They just see it. It looks like water, of course, as you can see. This is water. You would just drink it. Oh, I'm thirsty. Let me drink it.
So they don't question it because they don't see it.
Exactly. And that's why we want to raise awareness, make sure more people understand the actual severity of this. Because a lot of people, they don't understand. And so that brings us to our conclusion, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Raise awareness. One way we can do this, bring it up to our local communities, of course. Let them know to try to raise awareness. And hopefully we can go up in the bureaucratic process, take it to state level, maybe even national level. And one thing to note is this is a result of both sides, both the U.S. and Mexico. So it's not just us, it's not just them. It's from both sides, and that makes it a little, you know, harder to challenge. How do we do this?
Yeah, currently, we have a treaty, but that was made decades ago, and that's just in regards of who has access to the parts of the river. That was a problem then. The problem now is sustainability and pollution. We have to make a new treaty tackling these issues.
Wow.
So yesterday was March 5th. It was the primaries, right?
Yes.
We had elections. So who is your representative that you should be contacting to raise awareness about this issue? Have you guys looked into that?
Brian Guillen,
state representative.
That's our state representative in our area.
All right, so maybe if he's listening.
Of course, we have the mayor's son here.
Oh!
Of our city. So we hope in the future to use the mayor through our connection in order to raise awareness farther up.
Help the mayor help us.
Yeah. One step at a time.
I know. So I want to know, Joel, did they drag you into this project with them because you're the mayor's son, or were you just passionate about it all on your own?
I was very passionate about this project. You know, it's just to raise a lot of awareness, just for people to not realize what they're getting into. You know, we need to raise awareness just to make sure everyone's safe. Everyone has safe drinking water, obviously in poor parts of the Mexico and Rio Grande. They only have access to the river water, and we just want to make sure it's clean, raise awareness. And
you'll hear showing the river.
Okay, show us.
This is Mexico. You can see how many houses and communities there. They are a walking distance from the river. A lot of them just rely on the river water.
Yeah, and the pollution has made a lot of problems happen throughout, not just Mexico, but in the United States. Here in Texas, we had one sugarcane factory still open in the entirety of Texas, located in the Rio Grande Valley, and we had to shut that down because of how polluted that water is. The pollution is not only just affecting the water we drink, it's affecting the food we can have and the workers that need money to, you know, live with their families or pay off bills and stuff like that. All of this is being caused by so much pollution caused by both sides. In the last couple of years, 25 million gallons of sewage water has been dumped into the Rio Grande City or the Rio Grande River. So that's just horrible. Imagine drinking sewage water. Do you want to drink that?
No, absolutely not.
Nobody
absolutely
wants
not.
To drink sewage water.
And let me ask you this. So how did you become aware of this issue? Or is this something that just everybody knows and just doesn't do anything about it?
Nobody knows. Our teacher, our advisor put us on this issue. I knew it because I periodically crossed the border. And over the years, I've seen how much the river has shrunk, how much it has become polluted. So I'm pretty aware. I've been passionate about this issue. My mother's passionate about this issue as well.
And of course, this is an ongoing investigation. This is, I believe, our third year in a row where we've tested again to compare results. And this is going to continue going on in the future. Make sure as we try to make changes to the river, make sure we try to see some improvement, some form of improvement.
So what have you seen over the years? It's just getting worse and worse?
Yeah, unfortunately, it is only getting worse, the issue. So change needs to happen. Definitely. As you can see, we have here in 2023, last year, the results of our findings compared to this year, our findings. As you can see, the coliform, the main issue we were talking about earlier, is positive. It's been positive. It's going to stay positive if we don't do something to change that.
Have you worked with either your local government or with your teachers to figure out what the solutions need to be?
We've yet to do that, but we definitely do plan to get in contact with local authorities, local officials, try to raise awareness, as we mentioned earlier, on this topic, see what we can do to improve this, and see if we can even take this issue up further up the chain, you know, state level, national level. A lot of people, they don't realize this and they don't recognize it because it doesn't directly affect them. But compared to us, we live, you know, right next to the river. So obviously we're going to care more about it. So we just need to raise awareness. We need to let more people know and they can help us fight the battle to improve our river.
Okay, sustainability audience, those of you that are out there that can provide some assistance to these young folks that want to solve this problem, call into the show or get in touch with the school directly. You all know how to get a hold of me. Let's see if we can bring some help.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Join us again next week on the ESG Energized podcast, a production of the Oil and Gas Global Network. To learn more, go to oggn.com.